Hey, everybody, it's Becky Davidson, and I want to welcome you to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. You know, we are in a crazy season right now as we're dealing with COVID-19 and with social distancing and quarantining and so many things that we have never faced in our lifetime. And I know for so many of our families, this is an extra challenging time for you. But we want you to know that we are here for you. We want to bring you resources to help you try to navigate the season that we're in, but also help you as you raise your child with special needs. And one of the ways that we do that is through our podcast. Now, today's episode, you're going to love because I get to have a conversation with my friend, Eric Nixon. Eric and my late husband, Jeff, were good friends, and Eric came alongside me after Jeff's death and helped me with the completion of my husband's book, Common Man, Extraordinary Call, and he was such an important part, played such a critical role in helping that book get completed. So back before the quarantining and the isolation, Eric and I were able to have this conversation where he shares his heart about being a dad of children with special needs, about the importance of community, about different ways that men look at community and how some of the barriers that men face, that dads face in finding that community. And so I hope that you'll take a listen to this podcast, make notes. He has so many great suggestions because when we come out of this time of quarantine, it would be a great time for you to find another group of dads, that you can find your band of brothers. We'll talk about that in the podcast, what that is and what that looks like, so that you can have other men come alongside you and help you as you navigate being a father to a child with special needs. I love Eric's heart, and I love the compassion that he feels for other men because he himself is a dad to children with special needs, and he has such a heart for wanting to help other dads on this journey. So I know that you are going to love hearing this episode with my friend, Eric Nixon. Hey, Eric, thank you so much for joining me today for the Rising Above podcast. I'm so grateful to get to have this time to talk to you and learn a little bit more about your story.
Thanks. I'm glad to help.
So tell us a little bit about where you're from and a little bit about your family.
Well, I live in Pennsylvania. I've been married 29 years to my wife, Candy, and I have three young adults now. Life wasn't always so easy for us, and all three of our kids have a rare primary immune deficiency, and we spent a lot of time living at Children's Hospital, and for years and years with undiagnosis, and now I'm happy to say we have a diagnosis, and my kids are surviving, and all moved out of the house.
Empty nesters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's great. But I'm sure those early years were just so challenging, having met, you know, the severe medical conditions and trying to manage all that, I'm sure was a challenge.
It was a challenge because when you have three kids with a primary immune deficiency, they have a very weak immune system. So, you know, when a cold goes around the family, everybody gets it. Well, our colds would go from Monday a cold, Tuesday bronchitis, to Wednesday pneumonia. And if it wasn't one kid, it was another kid. You know it's bad. But it really took a toll on our family and our marriage.
Yeah, but you're stronger because of it. And I love how you used the challenges and the things that you faced with the medical issues in your family to now love and serve other dads. And we're going to talk more about that in just a minute. But one of the dads that you came alongside was my late husband, Jeff. And you and Jeff became friends. We'll try to get to this without crying here, but you and Jeff became friends. And how did you even meet Jeff? I know you all never got to physically be in contact, but you all talked on the phone and whatnot. But do you remember how you actually met Jeff?
I was at a Christian disability conference, and a mutual friend, Joe Butler from Ability Trees Ministries, he and I connected, and he said, you know, I have this friend who lives in Nashville who I think you and your humor would get along well with, and he kind of set us up almost like a blind date together. And,
I love it.
And we just hit it off, you know, talking about football and Philly cheesesteaks and marriage. And yeah, we just had a lot of common interests that take somebody from an acquaintance to make them a friend.
Yeah. Well, so, and one of the things that I always loved, I can't tell you how many times when Jeff would be sick or in the hospital, he would just out of the blue receive a text from you. And it was always so encouraging and so uplifting to him. And I love it. You've kind of continued that with me now. Just the other day, out of the blue, I get this text of encouragement. You know, keep going, Becky. You can do this. And so you have such a gift of encouraging others. And I just thank you so much for encouraging Jeff and encouraging me and all the dads that you serve in your group, which we'll talk about soon. But one of the things that you know, you and Jeff became friends, and then when Jeff passed away and I was given the opportunity to finish his book Common Man Extraordinary Call, I remember thinking, okay, how in the world am I going to do this, because I'm not a dad. And so but you were one of the first ones who came to mind. And so I reached out to you, and you very graciously agreed to come alongside and help us complete the book. You were a huge help with the study guide in the back of the book. If you've read Common Man Extraordinary Call, that is Eric's work, the study guide there in the back. He was so integral in helping do that. And then your story also appears in the book. And so I'm so grateful for that. But why was it important for you to come alongside and help us finish that project? Why is it important to you to encourage these men?
There's very little good, solid Christian literature for men, particularly about dads who have a child with a disability. There seems to be lots of women's books and self-help books, but nothing practical, down to earth. And Jeff and I often talked about that. That was one of the things that we had in common, was we both needed something, and we didn't know what we needed, but we found out it was other men who kind of got it in a non-judgmental way. I knew he was passionate about writing the book, and I knew that I knew that it would fill a big void to help other men.
Yeah. Well, I'm so grateful, because it was so helpful to us, and being able to bounce ideas off of you, and I know that he would be so pleased with the finished product. And so I'm so grateful for that. But, you know, I mentioned that your story is in the book, and it's actually chapter 10, which talks about band of brothers. And I know that you have a band of brothers in your area. So explain a little bit about what a band of brothers is, what it looks like in your group, and we'll delve into that a little bit more.
I watched this movie a long time ago called Act of Valor, and it's a war movie. But the thing that stuck out at me was, through thick and thin, these men were going through battle together. And that resonated with me, that, yeah, why aren't there other men's groups? Men need each other. The Band of Brothers started because I needed help. I went to church, and was involved in men's ministries, but they just didn't seem to get it. And I needed other local men, and I knew that there's lots of them out there, but why was nobody bringing them together? Mm-hmm. So that was kind of my passion, to try and bring guys together through different ways so that they can meet other people and realize that they're not alone in this journey.
Yeah. And you share in the book actually about your first experience going to a group, and it didn't go so well, did it?
No. I showed up and there were two people there, and the person who was leading it is super nice. And he was just like, yeah, I've been doing this for a while and it doesn't get any better than this. And I was like, really?
Great.
Yeah. I was like,
that's encouraging.
A little bit more depressed.
Yeah, exactly.
But the guy who was leading it had a heart in the right area.
Yeah.
I just had to figure out, and then he dropped it and was just like, yeah, this isn't working. So my wife kind of said to me, why don't you take it over? And I was like, oh, that's pretty funny. No. But I realized that's really what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I know about men and how they think and how they work. And I was like, okay, I think I can do this.
Yeah.
And so
you said, okay, I'm going to do this. And so now you tell us a little bit about your group. You actually lead a group for Johnny and Friends. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay, so what does that look like?
In Pennsylvania. That's more regional, as to quarterly events, all you can eat wing night.
There you go.
We have a summer baseball game that 50 guys go in a chartered bus, and we get to watch the baseball game and eat a lot of food that we're not allowed at home. Tailgate parties.
There you go.
Sometimes we have national speakers come in, like your husband Jeff, to talk to people.
Yeah.
And it's, that's what I do for Johnny and Friends.
Okay.
But locally, I heard this story, and it's real simple. A lady wrote to Mother Teresa and said, I want to come to Calcutta and help you. And she got and this was when Mother Teresa was alive, and she wrote back and said, thank you, but stay where you're at. Your Calcutta is where you live. And I thought, yeah.
That's great.
I don't have to go to Africa or South America. My Calcutta is men right here. Did that answer the question?
Yeah, absolutely. And so you lead, if I'm understanding correctly, you do some quarterly things for Johnny and Friends.
Yes.
And then do you have another group as well?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know that.
There's several of them that I'm overseeing right now.
Okay.
But I personally only oversee one. And we have a monthly dinner meeting. They all kind of run the same way.
Yeah.
I bring the main course, could be pizza, could be lasagna. And then I tell them to bring something unhealthy that we're not allowed to.
That you're not allowed to eat. Yeah.
Yeah. Guys bond over food.
Yeah.
And fellowship. Sometimes it's a guest speaker. Sometimes it's, a round table discussion. Sometimes it's about healthcare. Sometimes it's we have comedy night. One of our best attended is probably the Black and White Three Stooges night, where we get 50, 60 guys coming out, and drives my wife crazy. She
doesn't understand it. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
But the monthly ones are to keep them going in between the quarterly events.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, it's so interesting because we've always joked about how different, you know, when women get together, you know, our group is going to look a whole lot different than what you men want to do, you know. And so when Jeff died, I was like, I'm not about to start planning men's events because I have no clue what men actually want to go to go do.
Oh, almost snorted that out my nose. That was funny. Sorry.
That was a good one. Did I make you laugh that bad?
Yeah. Oh, caffeine up the nose.
So, you know, I'm not going to plan what you guys are going to do because, you know, that's not going to fly. So, you know, thankfully we have Rob Pierce here in our local office who plans our men's events. And they did something here recently. We have a place here where you can go throw axes.
Oh, yes, we do too.
Yeah. Yeah. So they went and did that, you know, and the guys' groups just look completely different than what the moms do, but they need to because our needs are going to be different than your needs.
Right.
And, you know, so I love that, you know, you saw that and you were willing to step out and go, okay, this is my Calcutta. This is what I'm going to do. It would be so easy to go, I'll let somebody else do that.
Yeah.
But with you doing that, what has that done for you, as a dad, as leading the group and then just being around other men? What does that do? How has this been a blessing to you, and how has it changed you over the years?
You know, at Christmas time, when you give somebody a gift that is that perfect gift and you see the other person light up, that's kind of like men's, how I benefit. I need this group just as much as other guys do. I get encouragement from them just as much as they give encouragement to me. And that's what keeps me going, and that's what keeps a lot of them going.
Yeah.
I want to be able to fight myself, you know, the next day, the next week, and not feel like I'm drowning. Yeah.
And just knowing you've got somebody else to reach out to who really does understand what it's like. Do you encounter dads often who are just like, I don't need community. I can do this by myself. You know, do you run into that? And when you do, what do you do about that?
I run into it all the time, because men get often overwhelmed, and they often say, I don't need counseling, and I don't need therapy, and I don't need support groups. And we tend to stuff things down inside. If we don't talk about it, it'll maybe magically go away. But what happens is we stuff so much inside that we become like a 12-liter can of soda that somebody just keeps shaking, and eventually we're going to burst.
Yeah.
And we usually burst at home because that's safe. We don't burst at work or in church. But at home, our family is the one that takes all that brunt.
Yeah.
We don't say that we're depressed. We say that we're angry. We say that we're annoyed at something. And men don't. Men have a lot of acquaintances, but very few have a friend.
And so, you know, when you meet those dads who are like, I don't need it. I think sometimes the way that your groups are set up, in that you're doing food and you're doing that, hopefully is an open door.
It is.
You know, to for them to come in and see it. It is a safe place and it's cool. But we see that all the time here as well, that dads, our moms events, very well attended. The moms will get out and go, but for the dads, there's just a wall. There's a barrier there. And
they don't, we're not told or taught generally to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
We're taught to be independent. We're often taught to compete against other guys.
Yeah.
So when we see that we need therapy or support groups, we view it as a weakness instead of, no, this can be good.
Yeah.
For a long time, our marriage took a serious beat with doctor's appointments, medical bills. Mm-hmm. I know what they're going through, and I know that no one event meets everybody's needs.
Absolutely, yeah.
Some want a Bible study, some want socialization. So I don't have a standard fixed cookie cutter model.
Yeah.
Many times men are drowning and they can't see it. They're too close to the circumstance and they need a friend. They need somebody to go, yeah, I'm going through the same thing as you are.
Yeah.
Get it.
And, you know, we often hear, you know, dads so often are fixers. They want to try to fix situations. You know, if a problem comes up, they want to fix it. And then when you have this child with special needs and it's a situation that can't be fixed, you know, we so often see dads shut down and disengage. Do you find that in your group? And what do you do?
I find it in all the groups that are running. Most of the groups that have spiraled out of mine are because of someone has moved up to New York or out to Arizona. Yeah. And they wanted the same thing and they just couldn't find it. We are wired to fix things and we short circuit. Women don't get it. It's a different, unique thing that men go through. When we can't fix something that's painful, we seek other things for pleasure. to help us out. Oftentimes we become a workaholic to avoid the family. A lot of men turn to porn. A lot turn to gambling and alcohol. There are things to numb the pain that we can't fix.
Yeah.
Which is then spirals the family in a whole nother different bad direction.
But when you've got your band of brothers, then you've got that accountability. Is that part of your guys, you know, you having that accountability with one another and just knowing that you've got somebody else that you can share that burden with?
You know, when my wife goes out to lunch with some of her girlfriends, they can have a lunch for 3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can have a lunch with one of my good friends, and after like 40 minutes, we're running out of things to talk
You're
about.
You're done. Yeah.
And men take a while to open up. We're often like an onion that's peeled back. A lot of times where I see a lot of the ministry is out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Guys are struggling with something and another guy's praying for someone, or
so good.
You're in a group setting and you really want to tell somebody that your marriage just had a crappy week, and you're unloading on a guy outside in a good way so that you don't take all that anger and frustration home. That's where I often see a lot of the ministry. A lot of the ministry is what I try and get men together. Men will talk when we're shoulder to shoulder, when we're doing a project, when we're walking together at a car show, when we're sitting next to another guy watching fireworks. We will surprisingly open up.
No, that is so good, because when you said that, it reminded me of something that we've started here with our local dads. And they are doing a thing now called Dads Helping Dads, where, you know, so often, I'm sure this is the case with you, you may have so many projects in your house that need to be done, and yet you don't have the time to go and do it. And so what our dads are doing is they are coming together and going to one person's house, working together as a team, and knocking out lots of projects at one time. And they came to my house on a Saturday to help me out as, you know, as a single mom. They came and did some repairs at my house for me. And it was amazing to watch, because it's just a bunch of guys out there being guys working, but you could see, I'm watching out the window, just seeing the communication, the conversations that are taking place. But it's not in a, hey, we're going to sit around the circle and share our deepest, darkest feelings. Exactly. It's we're going to work on this project together, and then just naturally.
Conversations start.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
Right.
Yep. So, I love that.
Yeah.
Shoulder to shoulder. I mean, I just think that is so great. That is so true. So do you have a story from your group that just shares so beautifully the way that your guys have kind of rallied around each other, or maybe a dad who's struggled, but yet you guys were able to come alongside that dad and encourage them without sharing names?
A lot of the encouragement comes while I may have a lesson plan, or there may be something happening during the meeting, when some guy comes and says, my marriage is falling apart. My wife gave me the ultimatum. I just stop the meeting and we kind of get around and pray. And not everybody who comes to the group is a Christian, but they see like, wow, I wish I had this. You know, I wish somebody would pray like this for me when I have an issue.
Yeah.
Any one particular thing, man, there's so many. I like seeing how some of the guys who've been in the group for a long time, this is probably my favorite part, is how they're taking their pain that they went through now that they're a little bit more seasoned. I don't really want to say a veteran, but, and they come along a new guy who is just walking this, what we call new normal, and totally lost. That's probably the best thing that I enjoy seeing.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I feel the same way. I feel like, you know, when I get the opportunity to sit across the table from a mom who's, you know, they've just gotten a diagnosis, and to be able to walk through that with them, I mean, it's so life-giving to me. And I think that's what people don't get, is that when we're willing to take that pain and those hard things that we've been through, and we're willing to use that to help someone else, man, it just brings even more healing.
Yeah.
To us.
You know, from that perspective, it was actually Jeff who, I guess I was sharing about my past one day, and he asked me a really strange question, or at least I thought it was strange. He said, "Have you ever thanked God for the disabilities in your family now?" And I was like, "Nope, I've never been able to say that."
Nope, can't say that I have. Yeah.
And he was like, "Do you know that you've gone from one end of the spectrum of despair up to positive?" Man, okay, now I'm going to start tearing up.
No, I'm telling you.
He said, he asked me to say it, and I just couldn't. I had so much still anger in me that was buried. And he said, "Listen, let's do a call and response. I'll say, and then you just repeat it back." And I was crying when I said it. Now I don't cry anymore when I say it. I can actually say it joyfully that one man helped me realize that it is okay, and to give God the glory. For a long time, I just thought God was doing a cruel joke to our family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you and I are both crying here over the conference call here. But I think we both miss Jeff in such different ways. But he had such wisdom. And I think because of his own disability that he went through as well, you know, to be able to see that. And I think that, again, goes back to that being willing. You know, you had somebody who came alongside you, and now you're going alongside these other dads. And then in the future, your hope is that they will then come alongside other dads. And how beautiful is that? You know,
and it was actually funny because, or at least I found it humorous, and so did Jeff, that during a different conversation when he was having trouble with his legs, and I gave him the same advice back. I said,
"Yes."
And he knew exactly where I was going. And he said, "What crazy person gave you that advice?" And I was like, "Yep." And then we just both had a good laugh on it.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Because I used to do the same thing with him. I would pull out quotes from his book, from No More Peanut Butter Sandwiches. And he would be saying something, and I would say, pull out a quote, and then go on page, you know, blah, 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 of No More Peanut Butter Sandwiches, you said, you know. Yeah. And so I love that. I love that, Eric. And, you know, I think it's just so great when I think you just set such a great example of the importance of why to have men's groups, to have community for men, and really how you can go about doing that. And so just real quick, tell me, like, if the dad is listening and they're thinking to themselves, okay, that sounds great, but I have no idea how to start. What would you say to them? Like, how would you say to that person, okay, here's step-by-step, a suggested way that you could get started?
A good, simple, easy way is most men know someone who is in the same kind of general boat. You may even know some people in your church. It doesn't always have to be a dad. It could be another caregiver that person needs another guy to start simple. Have three or four guys go have coffee together. If there is an event happening, like a car show, or going out to a movie and getting ice cream afterwards, most guys just want to have other fellowship. They want to step out of their home for an hour or two and get refreshed. They want to laugh. It's so much easier than what people think.
Yeah.
I put up those barriers. If you don't put the barrier up, it becomes so much easier. You just ask. And if you want to be even more creative, just call some, you know, just make up a little one piece flyer and give it to some local churches and see if you can get some other guys from other local churches.
Yeah.
Guys want to do it. The hardest part is just like Peter trying to get out, take that first step out of the boat.
Out of the boat. And, you know, I have a friend, you know, we were talking about, you know, it's hard to kind of take that first step, to step out of the boat. And so often we want to say, we in our mind think, well, I'm not going to ask them because they've got friends. They don't want to come, or I don't need community. I don't need to step out and do that. And so they think, I'm not going to ask that person.
Right.
But then we're telling that person's no for them. We're saying no for that person instead of giving them the opportunity to say yes or no. And so she always says, don't tell someone no for them. Don't tell their no for them. And so
it's often like when you sit in church on Sunday and you look around and you think everybody else has their act together. Why am I the only one who had a bad week?
Yeah.
Really, if you interviewed those other people, you'd find out a whole different story.
Yeah, absolutely. We all have things. And even, you know, my friends who are not special needs parents, they have their struggles. They just look different than mine. And so, you know, we can all encourage each other, regardless of where we're coming from. So, Okay, well, we close each podcast with the one thing. So, Eric, if you were sitting across the table from a dad, and he's a new dad. He's just gotten a diagnosis and his head's spinning because he just doesn't know what to do. And he's going through all those emotions. But in your mind, you're going, this guy needs to be in community. What are you going to tell him? What's the one thing you're going to tell him about the importance of finding that community and finding your band of brothers as you start this journey?
That this journey is not easy, but it's manageable when you have somebody to walk alongside you.
Yeah.
It's one of the best decisions I made, but I struggled over it just like most men. Like, do I really need this? And I've come to find out 10 plus years later, I need it just as much as every guy who comes to every different event.
Yeah.
If you really want to help yourself, you need other guys. As scripture says, iron sharpens iron. You need to find other guys, and I can be there or somebody else can be there to walk you through. I've been there and done that. That's what I needed.
Yeah.
Someone to tell me on my crazy days, it gets better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I love how you said, even all these years down the road now, you still need it.
Yes.
You know, it's still, the journey just changes.
Yes.
And the different milestones change and the different things you encounter change, but you still need that community.
You know, one thing that always makes me smile is when we have a men's group and I don't have to lead it, or a topic comes up or someone raises a question that I don't have to fix, that someone else in the group says, I've been there, done that. I almost lost my marriage too, or I was addicted to that too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk after the meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So great. So great. Well, Eric, I'm so grateful for you and all that you do to encourage the dads in your area and the way that you came alongside me and helped me with Jeff's book. I will be forever grateful for that. And I'm just so thankful for you. And thank you so much for taking this time to have this conversation with me. You had just some great nuggets, some great words of wisdom. And so I'm so excited to be able to share part of your story with our listeners. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. We would like to thank Jimmy Thorpe and Patrick Mayberry for providing the music for our podcast today. If you like what you hear, please take a minute to leave us a rating and review. This helps others like you find our content more easily. You can learn more about how Rising Above Ministries is encouraging the special needs community by checking out our website at risingaboveministries.org or by finding us on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to connecting with you.